Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, Fred just broke a microphone. Thanks for doing that, because that won't come back. We won't get that thing fixed for like 8 months, Fred. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I can't even find the part that flipped off of it.
Put in a ticket.
That's what we
there
do.
There you are. Yeah.
I think other people have to do that, I guess, at other companies.
Probably.
That's what we're told to do. It used to be, we're long past the days where you could go to someone who could fix something in a radio studio and say, hey, this is broken, but we have to fill out little forms. And when I say we... I mean, Ethan, right? I don't think I've ever filled out one of those things before. But, yeah, and Ethan's laughing. So what are you going to do with that microphone there? Is that one going to work at all?
I think he's going to fix it.
Are you going to try to fix it?
Hey, the ticket system works really well.
It does,
you
Fred?
You send it off, somebody in Philadelphia gets back to you, and the problem's taken care of.
It is?
Well, yeah.
Really, Fred?
Yeah.
Really?
And then it bounces back to St. Louis, and they come, like, minutes later. Yeah, it works.
Minutes later they do. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Trust me.
There's a little sarcasm there. Hey, you attended. Remember, Fred was telling us last week, Sue, that he was going to the, is it the World Championship of fireworks?
You know, I looked at it. It's the U.S. Championship.
Okay, but still.
It was great. It was in Innsbruck. It was Saturday night. It was a
three-hour
event. It was a beautiful night. It was hot. Everybody gets there really early. So you get there like around 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and it doesn't start till it gets dark at 7.
Oh,
right.
My gosh. So, wait, what do you do? Just get a good spot?
You sit with family members, and you eat all sorts of stuff, and you socialize.
And so you've been to a fair amount of fireworks shows over the course of your adult life, including
right.
a lot of great ones, I'm assuming, down here on the riverfront for the VP Fair. So how does this compare?
It's number one.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
There's no comparison.
Really?
Oh, Fred.
Yes.
I have a question. How is it fireworks versus drone? I mean, I hear drones have made a long, have really come along.
Drones were a small part of this one.
Oh, okay.
A couple years ago when they were here, it was a bigger part, but it's a smaller part this time. They were saying that in 2026, it's going to be a bigger part of it. But the drones were amazing, what the drones do. It's just incredible to see. And there were like six competitors, three professionals, three amateurs. And they competed in different categories.
Oh. And how do they do that? How does that work?
Well, the three amateurs competed against each other and the three pros competed
against
each
other. But what I mean by
and
that
they
is...
had a secret panel of judges that rated you on blast, storytelling, music, all
okay,
sorts
so
of different
Ethan,
things.
Fred, and me are the three amateurs, right? Sue and Ethan and I are the amateurs, right?
Right.
So we are competing. So one group goes, and
you get like 8 minutes each.
Okay, all right.
To do what you can, tell a story.
Okay.
Like one guy did a story on, he took four of the baddest bad guy villains in cinema history.
Oh.
Like Shere Khan from Jungle Book, Darth Vader. Two other ones, and then just put music to it and kind of told the story with music and colors. And it was really good.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's
what was
unique.
Your favorite story, Fred?
I think that was it because I remembered
it. Yeah, that's fair. Because I didn't realize. So are you saying that when, I guess that's just in competition, because when we sit down on the 4th of July and watch fireworks, it's just fireworks. I've not determined the story.
Yeah, no, I don't know if there was a story, you know, for other ones. But one of the competitors, the professional competitors, was he does the fireworks every night at Epcot.
That's pretty big.
So that was pretty good.
So do you have, like, was there a significant difference between the amateur show and the professional show?
They had different rules.
Oh, okay.
So I think the professionals were unlimited in how much they could spend, stuff like that. But no, they were all great. They were all loud. It was like finales the entire time.
Nonstop finales. Yeah.
It was great.
Well, I got out this weekend, did a little socialization, if you will. Went to, Sue's laughing at me. I mean, I don't get out very much. I'm pretty
That's
boring
a dog
these days.
Term. Yes.
Yeah, it is kind of. I guess what I want to say is I socialized.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Can I say that?
Yeah, that's better.
I went to Evolution Festival on Saturday. I kind of wimped yesterday because I wanted to watch football. I wanted to go see Father John Misty yesterday, and Lenny Kravitz was the headliner. But I did go out. I caught the Hives. I caught the end of the set by the Hives.
You caught the Hives?
Yeah, exactly. And the Hives, it's funny because I like the Hives. They're kind of punky. But I didn't imagine seeing the Hives when they're a little older. You know, it's kind of weird seeing a punk. Bands, all bands age, right? But when you see a punk rock band age, it's a little different, I think. I don't know. Maybe just for me. But Sam Fender was unbelievable for those people.
I saw that you posted some. It sounded great.
And it was so weird because I kind of carve out my spot at things like this. And I like to be right in front of the stage. And I couldn't believe that there weren't more people at that particular set. But I told you this last week. It's a guy that a lot of people in this country, they don't know much right now. And, you know, he fills stadiums and arenas overseas. He just hasn't got to that point. And it was the first time that he was here in St. Louis. So I thought it was a great show. And I think, you know, if I'm speaking candidly here about Evolution Festival, in the aftermath of last year, a lot of us thought it would not come back because the financials weren't great. Steve Shankman and Jeff Jarrett, who was on the show on Friday, they do a lot of work on this thing. And in the aftermath of Lufest being a complete disaster and what happened with that was an awesome festival. And then the finances weren't taken care of and it blew up. Evolution Festival really is a great festival. They had the grounds at Forest Park well laid out. They added this extra stage and, it was a really, really a good crowd, but not a big crowd. Now, that was fine for me, right? You go to a festival, you don't want to be overcrowded, but I just don't know if fiscally they could keep it going, if that makes sense.
Did you see the band who we featured on Friday?
Yes, I did. Yeah, James Welborn. I did see them. They were in between the Hives His Lordship was the name of the band. They were in between the Hives and Sam Fender. So I walked over. I saw a little bit of Corinne Bailey Rae as well, and she was fantastic. So, yeah, it's a good festival, and I hope that it keeps going. But I'm just telling you, these things are hard to maintain, and the sponsorships are tough to nail down, a lot tougher than they used to be. But I thought overall it was a really, really good weekend. Sue's still trying to get organized at the new house, so I know that you spent a lot of time doing that. Mm-hmm. Anything fun this weekend, Sue?
I'm just a ball of fun over here.
Uh-huh. Ethan and I were doing football, watching a lot of football, right?
Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of football. Boy, disappointing weekend for my Vikings. My fantasy team had a rough weekend. At least Alabama won. At least that set up an exciting Mizzou-Bama game here in a couple
weeks. Well, I think it will, and Alabama looked pretty good disposing of Georgia. And let's talk about the Vikings for just a little bit because they were in Dublin. I like waking up on a Sunday morning and being able to watch football just because I'm addicted to the NFL and I watched it all day yesterday. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers took your boys down, didn't they?
We're banged up, and we got a lot of injuries right now. Starting quarterback or offensive line, so that didn't help.
But is it my imagination, or are the Vikings staying overseas, and they have another game?
Yeah, they went straight from Dublin to London. They landed in London earlier today.
Isn't that kind of weird to have back-to-back games, or are they doing it just because, you certainly don't want the same team to come back and have to travel two times?
Yeah, that's the thing. I guess if you're going to do multiple, you may as well do them back-to-back so that you don't have to travel back. They'll have their bye the week after this.
Well, that helps.
It's also early in the year for a bye, I feel like. But
overseas for 2 weeks. Was yesterday the home game or was next week the home game?
They're both considered away games for them, which is also interesting. Yeah. I don't know. I like that the NFL's trying to, spread their fanship around the world. But also, I heard that half of the fans at the game yesterday were apparently fans that traveled from the U.S. to go.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
So I don't know. But is it doing the job?
I don't know. I don't know. But how about this, Sue? Did you see how the Packers ended the game last night?
I did not.
With the Cowboys? I hate this. It was a tie.
Here's McManus for the tie. 34. And this one is good. And this one ends in the second highest scoring tie game in NFL history. 40-40.
I don't like it. I don't like ties in sports.
Yeah.
I don't like ties. Certainly don't like ties in football, but I guess this is what they do now,
Chris,
right?
Chris Collinsworth had a great quote right after the game ended yesterday. It was something along the lines of, well, sometimes you just get invited to the party and you're just glad you got the invite and got to watch it all play out.
Well, it was a good game.
It was a great game.
It was an exceptionally good game.
It just sucks that that's the way it has to end.
Right.
Well, I saw some of it last night at Veda Sports Complex out in South County around the bar, and people were loving it because it was exciting.
Well, the Packers were rolling at first, and it looked like the Cowboys weren't even going to be able to compete, and then you know they made it tough, and then you know
then it was back and forth.
Right.
Yeah, it was. Sue, you're going to do Sue's News on a Monday. How about we do that next?
Sound.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good.
Very strange story about a superintendent in Des Moines Public Schools that was arrested by ICE. And Joel Curtinitis, who is, Fred, he goes way back with the show,
yeah,
right? We may go back to the Obama administration with Joel.
So.
Because he was our Des Moines go-to guy for the caucuses and everything. Anyway, he'll explain that story coming up. Frank Cusimano will also join us right around 4:50 here on 97.1 FM Talk. Got to do this on a Monday.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Okay, I just sent Ethan one more. Did he get it?
Yes, affirmative.
No, okay.
We're talking about Ethan.
Oh, yeah. He's on it.
He can turn things around very quickly.
Yes, he's so good.
He fixed my mic already.
Really?
Yeah. Mic's fixed. No ticket needed,
no
Sue.
No ticket necessary.
Right.
I'm so impressed.
Yep.
On this day in history, it was 109 years ago. So think about that. It's 1916, and John D. Rockefeller was declared the first American billionaire. Now, that's in 1916 dollars.
That's crazy.
That is nuts.
That'd be like a trillionaire now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be just insane. Okay, but modern historians think that was an exaggeration and that he, quote, only had 900 million at the time.
Well, that's
but
just
still,
he rounded
embarrassing.
Up.
That
right,
is embarrassing.
He did round up, Fred. Yeah. But so close to a billionaire in 1916. That's just nuts.
Yeah, I think it was the show Silicon Valley. I never get this right. I think it was that show where they featured a character who was a billionaire, right? But then in one cycle, he slipped below the billion mark, like to the 900 90 million mark, and was devastated.
Was he really?
Well, that was kind of the point of the storyline. It was hilarious. It's very real, right?
Yeah, I could see how that would be. I don't think I'd be that person, but I think I see it. And on this day in history, 41 years ago, it was in 1984 when this song hit number one.
You had the audio, but Mark was not prepared to hit the audio.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Let me try again.
There you go. There we go.
Okay.
Dearly beloved.
Dearly beloved. We are gathered here today to get through this thing called life.
So this one hit number one is what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I saw him on that tour. The only time I saw him was on the Purple Rain tour here at the Checker Dome.
You know what, though? What a great time to see him.
Every time you do this, though, this is relatively true. Whenever I hear a Prince song from Purple Rain in particular, I always go back and I listen to Purple Rain a little bit. So something tells
great.
Me on my ride home, it is great. It really
yes.
is.
Yes. And this one's particularly good. Anyway, this is number one 41 years ago today. Baby.
Nice. That's a good memory. I like that.
And then 12 years ago in 2013, and it just kind of freaked me out that this was – It was 12 years ago. Because I really think 2009 isn't all that long ago, and then it turns out, oh, well, guess what it is. 12 years ago, in 2013, the Breaking Bad series finale aired on AMC on this day. Did anybody watch that but me? It was so good.
No, I watched it, but what was interesting is I had never watched Breaking Bad and probably until 2012, and then I caught up just in time to watch the final season. So I watched the season, the final season, like everyone else did. You know,
that's good.
Right.
But I watched the first season, and I stopped because it was just too brutal. But then my wife was like, come on, it's worth it.
I think it's worth it. But I will say
this. Really was great.
I'm going to stand by this. I've watched both series twice in their entirety.
Whoa.
I think Better Call Saul in the end is a better show.
That's interesting.
I really do.
I've only watched one of those. I guess one of these days I'm going to have to get back into
it. It's exceptional. It really is.
I saw a story the other day talking about the house from Breaking Bad where Walter lived with his wife.
Yeah.
And they still have problems with people driving by. And I mean, it's a difficult situation. And I thought, of course, people tracked it down and are now obnoxious about it.
I'm sure there's an app where you can find these places, right?
You know what? Probably.
Yes.
It didn't occur to me, but you're probably right. All right. They talked about if you are a Kindle or an Amazon Echo user, updates are coming. Amazon is expected to announce some things at its fall hardware event tomorrow. Expected are a new Echo product, maybe smart speakers. I don't know. It was unclear. And a small color Kindle. We'll see. TheVerge.com was guessing on this stuff this morning. But if you are a person that uses either, I like a book. I like to hold a book. I understand Kindles. People love them. People in my book club have them. And then you can't ever find what you were going to find. But I just like to hold the book itself.
I really do. Oh, but, you know, more and more, I've been reading, like, even last week we had a digital copy that was sent for a guest, and, you know, I get used to the digital copies.
Yeah, it's easy.
I went through a phase of, I read, a ton of hardcover books, and then I went through, like, this Nook phase.
Interesting.
I guess that was, you know, right before the Kindle or something like that.
It was a different brand.
Yeah, a different brand.
Now, do you cozy up? Are you a book? I know Sue's got the book club, you know, and so I have a book club and read all the time. But Fred, do you read on a regular basis?
I don't think I've read a book in a couple months.
You're so busy. I don't see how you honestly would. Well, no, you are.
No, I'm so
busy
here
from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Well,
basically.
Yeah. No, but I love to read.
Oh, that's good.
You know, we talked about this at Me Too. We talked about this earlier, the Ryder Cup. I had to give up watching or at least put it on mute. It was just obnoxious. But I have some of the play. I mean, I've got some of the play-by-play. They kept getting delayed during day two on Saturday because the crowd would not be quiet when Rory McIlroy was putting. Okay, so he's being heckled the entire day. And here's how it sounded as the poor guy attempted to putt on the second green.
It's been incredibly vocal out here this afternoon, I have to say. And I think Rory's looking at the referee now, just asking people to settle down. Yeah, it's getting a little out of hand out here right now. So after a lengthy time over that putt,
if there's any bios out there looking for a bit of trouble, this is the game they're going to come and look for.
So, Sue, we talked about this last week because the Ryder Cup really is different than any other event. And I think when I asked Dan Reardon about that, he's like, well, just envision the stadium hole in Arizona, TPC, all the time, which, you know, the crowds are going nuts. They're drunk. They're drinking too much. It wasn't good. Dan will weigh in on this in the next hour. I don't know how you fix that. But
I don't either.
One of the things that Rory said is, yeah, you know, cheer for your players,
yes.
Cheer for them, but let's not. And what you heard there was mild compared to some of the language. There was beer that was thrown and hit Rory's wife. So there were things that happened that should not happen at professional golf events, right?
I was appalled.
Here's the number one thing. Here's my deal, too. And I think I can get a fair amount of support. Any idiot that says get in the hole after a golf shot, especially after a tee shot, shut the F up. You should not be allowed into a PGA or any other tour event, bonehead. The whole in the hole thing is ridiculous. Shut up.
It was embarrassing. I did not like it. And, of course, Rory didn't either. I mean, the whole thing, oh, we were just so horribly behaved.
Well, we got our asses kicked,
nobody's mother would be played.
So,
yeah,
so there is that. Well, we did make it close. Dan's going to kind of put this into perspective. It got a little closer on Sunday than people anticipated. Let's say that.
Well, okay. Well, you know my beloved Steelers were actually playing in Ireland. Okay.
Yeah, they did well.
They did well. The Steelers played the Vikings. Sorry about that, Ethan. And Saturday morning, here's the side story. Saturday morning, they've got backup quarterback Skylar Thompson is just wandering around Ireland, I guess. It's 3 a.m., and he gets jumped and robbed by several men. Luckily, he only suffered minor injuries, and he was on the injured reserve anyway, so it wouldn't have impacted the game. But there's no word on why he was walking around Dublin at 3 a.m., but he actually got jumped and robbed. So,
okay, well, I can answer quite comfortably and confidently the why. There were pubs involved, all right?
Uh-huh.
Let's at least say
mm-hmm.
that. But that sucks. That sounds like something that would happen here, not in Dublin.
I know. I was like, dang, that seems harsh. All right, I'm always annoyed by these stories. These people, what are you doing? Okay, last year, a woman in, here's a surprise, Florida, named Cynthia Kelly, sued Hershey's for $5 million, claiming their pumpkin-shaped Reese's peanut butter cups were falsely advertised. She said the packaging shows the pumpkins have, quote, cool carved designs and faces, but in reality, there are no faces. Well, of course that's true. I mean, Reese's is known for having just kind of lumps that are supposed to be things for Christmas. It's a tree, and it's like an egg for Easter. These are just lumps, but it's still delicious. And she pointed out several of their Halloween candies are also less spooky than they appear on the wrapper. Well, she did not get $5 million, and the candies will not be pulled from store shelves. She said, they're deceiving America. Yeah.
This is like when a judge gets a case like this, this is what the judge should do. You ready?
Yes!
Yeah, it's just stupid. But I guess A for effort. By the way, I enjoyed 3 Reese's Oreos on my way into work today, and I believe I had Friday night 7 or 8 at one sitting with milk. Man, I love those
7
things.
Or 8?
Oh, I went nuts Friday night. I decided, you know what? I don't care. I still am trying to gain a little weight back, so I had like 7 or 8 Oreo Reese's.
That's impressive.
I couldn't stop. I had to go back. I finished off the one. I had 2 boxes, right, that I bought at the Walmart. I finished the first one, and then I kind of cracked the other one open today. We'll see how long that lasts. I'll keep you posted, ladies and gentlemen. I know that there's got to be an Oreo Reese's tracker somewhere around my house, right?
You know what? Now that I think about it, 7, you know, that's a fair amount, but people eat like entire things of that at once.
Well, right.
You know,
I mean,
so
I've done your average Thin Mint, you know, stack
right,
a bunch of times, right? So
sure.
It felt something like that, but so good, so good.
Oh, and finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Fred, wait, you were in Japan, yes?
Yes.
This story for you on Japanese TV. When there's a show or commercial that features food on screen, it's common for there to be a caption that says, "The staff ate this later." That's because it's generally not socially acceptable to discard food in Japan.
That's very interesting.
I think that's true.
Yeah, we're the
opposite.
You
had said that, right? And there's no trash cans around.
Right.
People take their trash home and throw it out.
It's a big mystery to me. What happens to it all?
The staff ate it later. Don't worry.
You would think that they would do that on some of the American cooking shows, but that's very polite of the Japanese. There you go. There's Sue's News in the books for a Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So this is kind of a crazy story. I really haven't talked about this much, but you have Ian Roberts, who was the superintendent for the Des Moines, Iowa public schools, making more than $300,000 a year, arrested by ICE because he's in the country illegally. Here is one of the school board members.
I want to be clear. No one here was aware of any citizenship or immigration issues that Dr. Roberts may have been facing. The accusations ICE has made against Dr. Roberts are very serious, and we are taking them very seriously.
So Ian Roberts is his name.
Radical empathy is the recognition that we can disagree and still empathize with each other. The respect of others' humanity. This concept will be essential as we wait to learn more.
Okay, that does sound like two different things, but radical empathy, that's a new one for me. Joel Curtinitis is a political commentator in Des Moines, Iowa, former radio talk show host, and he's been a good friend of this program for years. Although, Joel, it's been a little while since we've hooked up. How are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. It has been a little while. A lot of life gone by in the last year.
No kidding. Well, you're Des Moines will be heating up here with all these presidential candidates starting probably next year, right? Things start to get cranked up pretty early. But what happened?
If we're lucky it'll last that long.
Yeah, well, that's true. What in the world is going on here? Because this is a crazy story, isn't it?
It is a wild story. Oh, my goodness. The first thing I got to say obligatory in this is homeschool your kids.
There you go. Right.
Got to put in a pitch for that, all right? Yeah, so it looks like it's really hard to determine the facts of the case in this one. But
whoop.
His family's from Guyana originally.
Wait, I'm sorry, Joel. Say that last part again. We had one of those cell phone moments where you just kind of blanked out. So start over if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. Sure. No, I was saying he was apparently born in Guyana, came over on a student visa in 1999, and then it gets very murky. He's got a fairly legit academic history. There's seems to be a lot of accomplishments in there, but it's hard to separate fact from fiction right now. And the big question up here in Iowa, of course, right after the news came out, was how exactly did this happen? How did he go through this entire process without citizenship, attesting to his citizenship, and not having that brought out in his employment verification?
So he apparently had a weapons possession charge in 2020, according to ICE. Do you know anything more? Because obviously in the two sound bites that I played, the one sound bite sounds like they're taking it pretty seriously. The second one sounds like, okay, well, let's wait for the facts to come in here and see what's happening. It's my understanding this guy, and I've seen some of the videos, he seems like he's very gregarious and has a dynamic personality. Seems like he was well-liked in this district as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. It looks like it was a case where he had a hunting weapon in a car loaded up, and it wasn't a violent weapons charge, as far
right.
as I can tell.
Yeah.
Right, and it is. But if he was not here legally, it's not legal for him to have a weapon and ammunition anyway. And so, like, there's all sorts of things like that, falsifying records. There's a perjury charge attached to falsifying an I-9. And so if that was the case, and so I guess what I'm saying is, in this case, it's not necessarily either stereotype.
Yeah.
It's not the, terrible thug, villain, horrible person that ICE wants to represent, I think. I don't want to say they want to represent it, but it makes the case easier from their point of view, and there's a conclusion that's jumped to. And on the other side, it's not the baby's bottom clean, everything is pristine, just a normal dude going about his business. There was certainly a lot going on here. And to me, the key is that he was given opportunities for hearings and for redress and to, figure out what's going on with his immigration status, was denied by the Biden administration. He didn't show up to those.
Mm.
And so everybody crying about due process, due process was there. Due process is happening in these cases. If people don't show up to defend themselves, of course there's going to be intervention by government.
By the way, the other thing that happened here, which is interesting, is that he was arrested, but he was driving away, and that was after, he identified himself to them but I guess he abandoned the car in the woods, and then they ended up finding him. That's not a good look right there, I don't think.
No, it's certainly not. And I think, you know, the clips you played earlier show Des Moines School District. Now, if you live up here in Iowa, you know, Des Moines is constantly virtue signaling to the left. It's a blue city in the midst of a red state.
Right.
They're constantly pushing back against the Republican governor, the Republican legislature. And this is the type of thing where I think they're very embarrassed and are looking for damage control in their statements because they can't appear to be cooperating too closely with ICE because the left hates ICE. But they also can't be seen as going against the law. And so they're put in a little bit of a squeeze right now and trying to virtue signal both ways, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess that's what happens in situations like this. But really, one of the main questions is really the school board, right? And how this happened without proper vetting. I think, Joel, this is going to be interesting, really interesting to see how this, you know, works itself out, because he's got the charges, he's got some things that you said in the past, but he's very popular. He's seemingly, you know, one of the things that I think I've seen some of the, and this is where I get a little nervous about the legacy media, but they pointed out that they were celebrating in Des Moines because they got some pretty good marks for state evaluation for the schools. And this guy's only been on the job for 2 years. He's well known. And he was saying, look, we got a good foundation to move forward and to improve. And then a few days later, this thing falls apart and blows up like an explosion in the school district office, right?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. So as soon as my wife and I heard about it, we turned to each other and we said, it's Catch Me If You Can. Did you ever see that movie, Catch Me If You Can, with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Absolutely. It's a great movie. Yeah.
It kind of sounds like a case of that, doesn't it? It kind of sounds like he put himself in a position to succeed using potentially not entirely honest means and then made the best of what he had. I mean, the guy was drawing a huge salary. I know taxpayers up here are not super happy about that. But what's interesting is we got a governor race coming up here in Iowa, and this is going to heavily impact. I believe this discussion, it's already impacting the race for governor. There's already been fireworks between presumptive Democrat nominee Rob Sand and then Adam Steen and some other conservatives on the Republican side. I really do think this is going to impact the race.
Well, that's interesting that there's those dynamics that kind of, you know, sit in the background, because I think there's a lot of, you know, a lot of questions here and a lot of things that can happen. This could go in a variety of directions. Joel Curtinitis, I know that you are a man of faith, and we have not caught up in a while. And you have to say, I'm sure you have some thoughts about Charlie Kirk. I don't know if you had a relationship with Charlie, but I'm guessing you have some thoughts in the aftermath of that tragedy.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know Charlie, but our groups crossed paths back when I was working with Ron Paul and Young Americans for Liberty. There was a lot of overlap between student organizations and people trying to organize on campuses and just young people in general back when I could have called myself young. and this has really been just a knife to the heart of a lot of us that were involved in that, not only because our lives were on a similar trajectory, but because, as I saw a very powerful Facebook post talking about why this hurts worse than so many other losses, particularly to people of faith, is that it seems like a lot of us, because people like Charlie were on the job, we sort of delegated that responsibility to him, to the Ben Shapiros, to the, you know, to the Tucker Carlsons, to the people who were doing the talking on the stages. A lot of us went and sat back and said, well, I must not be needed now. And I think Charlie and in the aftermath of this, a lot of us are sort of reevaluating our priorities and say, hey, maybe it's time to get back on. You know, maybe it's time to get back in the fight.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the reaction to me continues to be fascinating, because it you know, I've admitted this a few times, it kind of caught me off guard, the reach that he had, you know, and that he continues to have, which I might even be growing because of the, you know, certainly the spiritual angle here. So it's fascinating. Well, I hope all is well with you and the family up there in Des Moines. We got a presidential race that's not too far off in the distant future. We'll be talking again, I'm sure, Joel. Thank you. And, you know, we may even hook up when this thing has a resolution, or we have a little bit more of a sharper focus on what happened up there, because it is a crazy story.
Sounds great. I'll be your eyes on the ground.
All right. Take care. That's Joel Curtinitis, who is up there in Des Moines. Frank Cusumano coming up next. Well, no baseball in October for this city. And I guess one of the questions that lingers on a lot of our minds is, when will that happen again? Will it be 2027? Will it be 2028? Notice how I skipped over last year, or next year rather. Frank Cusumano from KSDK is here. How are you this afternoon? Mo had a little bit of a wrap-up presser today, didn't he?
Yeah, and by the way, that was very smart of you not to mention 2026. No
yeah,
false hope.
Unfortunately. You know what surprised me is that, and just because of perception, that we had a better record last year than this year, right?
We did.
And that's that kind of surprised me, just given the fact that the first half of the season was pretty entertaining.
Yeah, what happened was that two-fifths of your starting rotation was in the tank with Fetty and Pallante, and Michaelis could only pitch at home. And then you had the regression of Walker and Gorman and then some of your key players injured. That looks like a team that should be six games under 500, and they were.
Right.
I thought Mo today, I thought he said a couple of interesting things. One of them was, I never had to rebuild. And now, you know, he says, I don't know what they're going to call it tomorrow because Chaim Bloom is going to do his press conference at 10 a.m., because I don't know what they're going to call it, but I never had to do that. And because of the mistakes and some just unfortunate things and some regression, I think I would not be shocked if Chaim Bloom does say rebuild. I know it seems like it's a dirty word in St. Louis, but when you've had success for a long time, sometimes you do have to rebuild.
Does Mo accept, and look, I'm not a Mo hater, and I appreciate everything he's done, and I like him personally, but does he accept some of the responsibility from the past few seasons, do you think?
Yeah, in fact, he said something like, you know, if you don't try, you're not going to make mistakes. But when you do try, you are going to make some mistakes. And like, he, you know, he talked very candidly about the Randy or Rosarina deal where they wanted, the Cardinals wanted to keep Tyler O'Neill. They thought he was the special player. Well, they thought wrong. So that didn't work out. I just want to say this too. If somebody tells you right now, Mark, the next president of the Cardinals is going to last 18 years and he's going to have 10 playoff appearances, would you take it?
No. No, because it won't happen, right? I mean, that's not going to repeat itself, unfortunately. But yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah,
I would take it.
Yeah, I would take it in a heartbeat. So the point is, he had a heck of a run. When you have three losing seasons in 18, that's a good run. Unfortunately, two of the last three seasons have been losing seasons.
And the Cincinnati Reds are in the postseason, right?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine how the Mets feel with that payroll?
That's $340 million, and you don't make that. There's a story for you. And, you know, I think it's a valid point, too, because, look, winning championships, getting to the postseason, you look at the Ravens right now. They're 1-3. People thought they were going to be a Super Bowl team. They might still be. This is tough. It's a tough business. But I just don't know how you get the fans back on board for 2026 and 2027 when you do a rebuild. That is not going to be easy.
That kind of goes into my question. Frank, do you have any sort of idea as to what the messaging is going to be tomorrow, or any sort of this is what it should be if you don't have an idea for Chaim Bloom and the ownership's post-2025 press conference?
Well, it's interesting. Ethan, I just did a function with Ozzie Smith, who has spent some time with Chaim Bloom. They've kept Chaim Bloom away from us for most of the year. And he said that Chaim, you know, brought up some things about what he did at Tampa and how it could be similar in terms of, you know, maxing out, having great success by nailing drafts, which they had the last 2 years, going the international route, getting a buy there, and doing it with a smaller budget. You have to remember one thing about the Cardinals is, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, you were drawing $3 million, okay? $3 million. And you had that really incredible TV package where the local TV ratings were as good as any in the country. Now you don't have that, and you have a downtown that some people are a little concerned about. So there's a lot of things working against him, but the guy did win a lot of games in Tampa, which is a far worse situation than we'll ever have in St. Louis.
All right, I want to switch over here real quick. I don't know if you know this. I roll with the Alabama Crimson Tide. That is my team. They had a big win this
weekend. He's breaking up. I can't hear him. He's breaking up, Frank.
Shush. But they had a big win this weekend on the road against Georgia. And now you got the Mizzou Tigers 2 weeks away. I know Bama's still got to get through Vanderbilt, but you know, the Tigers have the week off. As you start to preview this matchup, what are you seeing? What are going to be some of the keys for the Tigers to try and hold off the Tide?
Can I start, Frank? Can I answer before you do?
Yeah.
Amon Hardy's going to run for 300 yards against you guys because your run defense sucks. Go ahead, Frank. That's my take.
My question to you, Mark, is this. how can you have so many Alabama fans working on your show?
I don't know. It's shameful. It really is. But look, Alabama looked good over the weekend, and that game is going to be looming large. Hopefully, there is a chance we'd get College Game Day that day, right?
There's a chance, but the Tide are hosting this week, and it's at 11 o'clock
they
kickoff.
Won't do it.
So I don't know.
Damn it.
Okay. One quick Ahmad Hardy thought, and I'm glad, Mark, you went right to it. He's now leading the country in rushing, 730 yards.
Wow.
Mark and Ethan, we did a Sports Plus interview with him last night. He has got to have the biggest arms of any human being on the face of the earth. I thought it was his thighs, which are bigger than most normal people's waist. Everybody, as soon as they see this, he pops up on the Zoom. Everybody's like, oh, my God. And he's like the most humble, nicest guy ever. He is going to run wild against Alabama. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, again, Mizzou did what they needed to do the other day. I think they sat Prabula for most of the second half, right? And you have the bye week, and I don't know how the rules work, where they have some off days or maybe a couple more off days than they would, you know, considering it's a bye week. But man, you got time to focus, get plays ready, and watch a lot of film. And you know, coming off the bye, I'm looking forward to this game. You know, it's a home game in the SEC, but I guess maybe I'm glad in the end that Bama won on Sunday or Saturday, if you know what I mean, and maybe I hope they beat Vanderbilt because they don't come in as angry. I know that's not really how it works, but
I mean,
that's the psychology.
It would also be, I mean, Mizzou does not have a lot of huge, tough matchups on their schedule. If they are to beat Alabama,
they got to win this one,
what
right?
Alabama does leading up to it could be make or break for Mizzou down the road here for the playoff.
Kuzmano, we'll talk on Friday afternoon. We'll get a preview of the bye week, and we'll talk a little bit more baseball and see where the postseason is. I got to run.
Okay, guys.
All right, take care. And Scotty Warman
is
going to join us at the bottom of the next hour. We'll get with him from Fox Sports Midwest and talk a little Ryder Cup with Dan Reardon as well.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.